today, and let's go to Psalm chapter 143. Psalm 143. Psalm 143, read the entire chapter, but the main focus this morning will be verse number 10, but reading all of Psalm 143. The Bible says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant." Father, we do thank you again for the time we can have together. Thank you for the songs, Lord, that have been sung. Thank you for the piano special. Thank you, Father, for everything, Lord, that you do in each of our lives. And thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here this morning again, coming before you as a body of believers to want to hear from heaven, to want to get direction from the Lord, to want to be guided by your Spirit. Father, I ask that you would guide us this morning according to your will. Father, would you establish our thoughts? Help us, Lord, to meditate upon the things that you speak to our hearts about. Father, we ask that you'd bless the children in junior church, Lord, always opening up their hearts and their understanding to the Bible lessons being taught. Father, we ask the Word of God would take root in their heart as well as ours, that the Word of God would dwell richly in our hearts. Lord, that we would truly allow the Word of God to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, especially in the days that we're living in. Father, I ask that you would glorify yourself. May Christ be lifted up. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the psalmist writes this psalm, it's a psalm of David. David mentions several things in here. He wants God to hear his prayer. He wants God to avenge him of his enemies. He wants God to destroy his enemies because he's always being persecuted by those who refuse to follow God, those who refuse to do right, and always look at David as the enemy. It's amazing, you know, we do live in a world where the world as a whole looks at God's people as the enemy. Christians are viewed as the problem and not the solution. But it's okay, because the Bible told us that they would call good evil and evil good. We still know we're on the winning side. Doesn't matter what the devil does or says or who he uses to be his mouthpiece in this world. We know that Jesus Christ reigns. He has all power, and he's coming again, and he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. He is going to have the final judgment over the devil, who's going to lose, though he gathers an entire army against Christ, yet that army is wiped out by the word of the Lord. The devil's cast into the lake of fire for eternity, and he will be tormented for eternity, and that is his rightful judgment, is that he is tormented for eternity. Why? Because he's the accuser of the brethren. He torments so many lives and has since he came into this world. He has tormented lives over and over again. I love reading through the Gospels and seeing people delivered from the clutches of the devil. I love reading Paul turning and and rebuking the devil in the name of Christ, and this woman that was possessed, man, she was cleansed of that demon. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give life. But this morning I want to talk to us about fulfilling the Father's will. Now, Jesus fulfilled the Father's will. We celebrated the resurrection of Christ last week. He fulfilled the Father's will. He came, lived a sinless life. He went to the cross of Calvary. He laid down his life willingly for the sins of the world. And he rose victoriously. And he sits at the right hand of the Father waiting for that moment the Father says, go get my children. It's time, and the trumpet sounds. And the dead in Christ are raised, and we which are alive and remain are caught up in the air to meet the Lord and so ever be with him. But until then, we have to continue to choose to do the Father's will. And the only way that we can really do the Father's will is to have a desire for God's will and to be able to discern in our life what is God's will and then to perform God's will in our life. When you look at verse number 10, that is what David says. Again, David mentions a lot of things. He just wants God to hear his prayer. He wants God to judge his enemies. He wants God to help him. But then towards the end, he says in verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. David never stopped wanting to learn what God's will was for him. Now, we already know God's will was for him to be the king. God chose him to be the king. God had him anointed. God kept him alive, you know, through the reign of Saul. David sits on the throne of Israel. David sins against God because he was not where he should have been. He hung back at the palace when the time all the kings went to war. He sent all his men to war, but he stayed home, and he had an adulterous affair. Then he committed murder, had Bathsheba's husband murdered because he was trying to cover up his sin, right? And he was a miserable man until God gave him an opportunity to confess his sin by Nathan the prophet, who would come and point his finger at him and say, thou art the man. And he would confess his sin through Psalm 51. But nonetheless, he remained a man after God's own heart because he admitted he was wrong. And he kept following the Lord and kept wanting to be led by the Lord. And again, even in David's old age, he's wanting to be led by the Lord. And as God's people, no matter what's going on in this world, no matter what's going on in our life, on any given day, we should always have that heart's desire, God, lead me. Because you know what? I'll be honest with you. If I lead myself, I'm going to lead myself down the wrong path. Because you know what? I don't know everything. I can't see everything. But God does, and God wants to be the one that guides our steps. So David says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Aren't you glad you have the Spirit of God in you? And isn't the Spirit of God good? Has God ever led you astray? Has God ever forsaken you? Has God ever left you alone? Has God ever deserted you? And the answer undoubtedly would be no. There might be some that say, yeah, he did, but he's never left any of his children alone. And sometimes we think that God has left us when things aren't working out the way we want them to, or God doesn't answer the prayers, our prayers, the way we want him to. We think he's deserted us. Remember, God's way is always right, and we want to continue to have a heart's desire to do what God's will is for our life, because our life is about worshiping him, serving him, following him, and waiting patiently for his return. The will of our Father is always best for us. God's will is for you and me to know him and to be more like him. David desired to know God's will, and he was willing to be taught what the Lord's will was. And you know what? Many times God's will is contrary to our will. Are we going to be willing to say, Lord, thy will be done, not mine? You know, we often say that Jesus is our example. And Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was praying and sweating great drops of blood there at the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out not once but twice, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Have you ever prayed and asked God to remove some difficulty from you or change some situation or help you not to have to face something the next day, but you still had to face it, you still had to go through it. And maybe you faced it, maybe you went through it with not a very happy heart, but a very disgruntled heart because, well, Lord, I prayed and asked in faith and you didn't answer me, and I got to face this and I got to go through this, and it's not fair, it's not right. But yet, remember what Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. He had the pressures that you and I will never and have never experienced. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ was already feeling the pressure of the cross of Calvary. He knew what was coming. He knew what he was going to face. He knew the Father was going to turn his back on his only begotten Son. And he was going to have to experience the loneliness, God not being there, so that you and I would not have to experience that. He was already feeling the pressures of all sin being poured out on him. I mean, you know what it's like. I know what it's like when I know I'm going to face something and you're already kind of feeling the anxiety and you're kind of feeling the pressure of what, you know, maybe you have to go into a boss's office or some meeting or whatever. There's just something that you don't want to face and you think about it, and if you think long enough, you feel the pressure kind of building up and you're like, I'm just going to call in sick tomorrow. I'm just not going to face it. But eventually you have to face it because you go in. But think about Christ. As he would ask the Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he utters those words, not my will, but thine be done. Do we have that attitude this morning? Do we truly have that heart? That whatever the Father's will is, we are completely okay with it. We are settled in Christ. We have peace that passes all understanding, that though I may not want to go through it, I may not want to face it, I may not even want to be the one that has to tell somebody they're wrong, yet, Lord, if it's your will, just give me the grace and the strength to go through it. Because when you read that account with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible records an angel came and ministered to him, strengthening him, even our Savior, because he robed himself in flesh. Now, he fulfilled the Father's will, and God wants us to, and as you just keep Christ in your mind as the example, because he is to be our example for everything, no doubt he had a desire to fulfill the Father's will. And this morning when you look here, David says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Teach me to do thy will. We must desire God's will. You and I must continue to desire God's will to be done in our lives. And the only way that you and I are going to keep that heart's desire is to remain devoted to our loving God. Look at John chapter 14. In order for you and me to continue to have that heart's desire that God's will would be done in our life, and that we would fulfill the Father's will in our life, we have to remain devoted to a loving God. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, you look at verse 23, if you would, and look at the words of Christ. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, and this is Christ speaking, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I hear many Christians say, we're not under law, we're under grace. When someone mentions, we're supposed to keep the commandments of the Lord, oh, we're not under the law, we're under grace. But didn't Jesus say, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Again, as the Bible tells us, the Word of God is to dwell richly in our heart. The Word of God is what changes us. It is what molds us. It is what shapes our desires. It is a motivator in our life. It is what causes us to think what is true and what is right. It helps us to understand, as it is the light, it helps us to see in our life and in this world, what is it that God wants from me? God wants us to continue to have that desire that we not only fulfill God's will, but it be fulfilled in our life. Not just have that desire. I mean, I'm somewhat on a diet right now, and I have a desire to eat some food, certain types of food. But I can't because it's not part of my diet right now. But I've got the desire, but I can't fulfill that desire because I'll fail in what I'm trying to accomplish. Having a desire can be good or bad. We have a desire that God's will be done in our life, but what are we doing for God's will to be accomplished in our life? Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Just listen to what Jesus said. If a man love me, because many say, I love you, Lord. I love you, I love you, I love you. But then they don't keep his words. They don't follow him. They don't let the Spirit of God truly work in their life. They live their life contrary to what God has said and to what the Lord has said. Again, being devoted to loving God. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Peter, could you just close those windows for me? Thank you. I can tell the wind's going to start whipping up a little bit more. I mean, I like it. I like the breeze, but I just don't want the distraction. All right? So thank you. Again, look at 1 John chapter 2, if you would. Take your Bibles, go to 1 John chapter 2. Again, talking about that we must have a desire for God's will in our life, and we have to remain devoted to loving God, and to love God, to love Christ is, as Jesus says, to keep his words, to follow his words, to follow his teachings and what the Bible tells us. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, the Bible says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, even as Christ walked when he was on this earth during his earthly ministry. He loved the Father so much that he walked in the love of the Father. He obeyed the Father. He completed the Father's will for him. Again, the Lord's will is for us to keep his commandments, to allow the Word of God to truly be relevant in our life today, and not just relevant, okay, I know it's truth, but really, center your life around the Word of God. How are people deceived? How are people deceived? By keeping them from the truth. By keeping them from the truth. By covering up the truth. I mean, people are really good at it. Some car salesmen are really good at covering up the truth. Oh, that knocking noise, it'll go away. I know someone who had their car worked on, and they had it worked on because it was making a noise, and when they picked it up, it was still making the noise, and they were told $1,000 later, oh, that noise, it'll go away after a few hundred miles. Yeah, it went away. The engine blew up. So there are people that are really good at deceiving people and covering things up. See, God has given us something that will not cause us to be blinded. God gives us insight, and his word is truly a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. But we have to have that desire, that heart's desire, that I want to have God's will accomplished in my life, and it starts with remaining devoted to loving God. And the only way I can properly love God according to what his word says, is to follow his word, is to truly let his word be my guide, to be the lamp and the light that leads me through this life and leads me into doing what God wants me to do. But you know what? If I'm going to have that desire, then I must want to be led by God. I must want to be led by God if I truly want God to direct my life. If I truly want to have that desire for God to be in full control, for me to follow whatever his will is, and I have to desire to be led by God. Because to be led by God is to follow. Psalm 37, verse 4 through 6 says this, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." The psalmist David says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. It is truly being that living sacrifice that says, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? And again, God has already revealed in his word what he wants us to do. And that's why Jesus said, obey my commandments. Follow my word. That's why God has told us to let the word of God truly be the lamp unto our feet and the light into our path. And I would say it's even more dire today in the time that we're living in. Because if you're keeping up with the time, if you're doing as Jesus said, you'll know the season when all these things will come to pass. The end of time, the reign of the Antichrist, all the things building up to that moment. Then you will see an alarm sounding that you better get your house in order. You better get your act straight. Don't take this wrong. I'm not saying this directly to you. I'm just saying in general, for Christians, for God's people. Because you know what? His return is drawing nigh. And Jesus said, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? And he's speaking of his people. Will he find his people still walking by faith, still living by faith, still trusting him, still following him, still allowing his word to truly dictate their life? Nobody likes a dictator. In fact, we're against that. But you realize that Jesus Christ, he owns you, he owns me, he bought us with his precious blood, and he deserves for us to willingly follow him, to willingly be led by him. Allow yourself to desire God's will in your life by remaining devoted to loving him. And the only way that we can properly love God is to follow his word, to allow his word to truly be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, showing us what we're doing wrong, encouraging us in what we are doing right. The person who desires God will follow the leading of God. And the decisions that we make actually do reflect the desires of our heart. Because again, I know that many have taken Psalm 37 out of context and have said, well, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he says he'll give you the desires of thine heart. And I've known of people who have used that verse and their desires were wrong. Their desires were against even what the Bible talks about. Because I think you understand that if we truly delight ourselves in the Lord, guess what? Our heart, what we desire in our heart, is going to be what he wants. Not what we want, but what he wants. And again, I'm thankful for the multitude of blessings that he bestows upon us every day. But again, we need to have a deeper walk with God. We need to have a richer relationship with our Savior. And it continues with desiring to fulfill God's will. Let God's will be done in your life and my life. And it starts with continuing to love God through his word, obedience to his word. Secondly, we must discern God's will. What is God's will? Someone say, well, how do I know what God's will is for my life? I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because the provisions that God gives for discerning his will always starts with his word. It always starts with his word. Again, the best way that we can deceive somebody is to hide the truth from them. And that is why I always say, okay, let's turn to, right? Because there are many that claim to be preachers and pastors that will have you not open your Bible. Some denominations, you know, forbid certain versions. I've never preached against any versions. I've mentioned often, I believe the King James Bible is the accurate version. But I've never gone up to someone and say, you're wrong for having that. Because you know what? If someone is seeking the truth, they'll find the truth. But I've known of, because I was sitting in a Baptist church one time in my younger years, in my 20s, and my family, we're all there. We were on vacation. We were visiting some other family members, and we went to a church, and he had us open the Bible, and he read some verses. He said, okay, close your Bible. And for the next hour, we listened to him talk about something out of a newspaper. The enemy doesn't want you to have the truth. The enemy doesn't want you to search the truth. The enemy doesn't want you to take God's word and compare it to what someone is saying or compare it to what's going on in the world right now. Realize many will be caught off guard when the trumpet sounds. Many will be caught off guard when Christ returns. Sometimes we're caught off guard when God wants to do something in our life because someone's been dragging their feet. Someone hasn't really been paying attention. Someone hasn't really been following God. And then an opportunity comes that God brings their way and they totally miss it because they're not ready for it. They're not prepared for it. But again, for us to be able to discern God's will, it does start with Scripture. God's given us his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, you're there. Look at verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now I understand, let me give you the context. Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a young man who is going into the ministry, and he has been given the responsibility of teaching some churches and giving some exhortation to some elders in the ministry. And Paul even tells him later, you know, don't be afraid. God hasn't given a spirit of fear. You know, you just preach the truth, you speak the truth, you love them in the truth and all of that. But it can be applied to every single Bible-believing Christian, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means, you know what, I can find some direction for my life in the Old Testament. There are some people that don't want to read the Old Testament. There are some that don't. I had somebody years ago in the last church I was preaching at. They came up to me after the service. He had been visiting for a couple of Sundays, and he said, man, I like the messages you're preaching, but how come you don't just stick to the Pauline epistles? How come you just don't preach out? I mean, I'm Old Testament, New Testament, I mean, whatever God gives me, that's where I preach, you know. Because he was under the influence of, you, as born-again believers, we only have to read the Pauline epistles, just the epistles that Paul wrote. No. God says that his entire word is profitable for us. So if you're looking, if you're desiring God's will for your life, just don't just go to the book of Psalms. Don't just go to, you know, Galatians or Ephesians. I mean, have a routine. Have a Bible reading routine that you have every day because God's going to speak to you through your Bible reading. Again, many people treat God like a genie in a bottle. Lord, I need to know if I need to take this job or not. Will this job keep me out of church? Will this job cause me to go astray, maybe have an adulterous affair? Lord, just show me in your word if you want me to take this job. Well, I don't want to read verse 79 because that says, let those that fear thee turn unto me. No, I don't want that one. And that's the way some people take God's word. Because it's wherever their eyes fall, that's the verse they're going to use to do what they want to do. Oh, no, I can't do that one because, you know. All right, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It sure is. Lord, I'm going to take this job because you said that if I trust you, everything will work out. You understand what I'm saying? Thy will, not mine. What is it that guides you and me every day? Why do we do what we do? Why do we don't do the things we don't do? Is it because we heard somebody else say it, or is it because God truly has convicted my heart about it? Because through the reading of his word, he has shown me something's not right. He has shown me there's something he wants me to do. Again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It starts with God's word. If we want to have discernment, it starts with hiding God's word in our heart. It starts with meditating upon the word of the Lord. You already know it. God told Joshua the only way he was going to have success going into the promised land was if he held on to the word of God. He said, don't let my words depart out of thy mouth. He said, meditate upon them day and night, and they will bring you prosperity. They will bring you goodness. The second provision that God's given us for discerning God's will in our life is his spirit. He's given us of his word, and he has given us of his spirit. Listen to what Jesus said in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know why God gave us his Holy Spirit? A couple of reasons. Number one, to seal us, because we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, and it's God's seal upon us that we belong to him. We no longer belong to the devil. We are on the road to heaven. We belong to the Lord. We have his seal. But also the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, is to be our guide, our teacher, to help us, to bring to our mind the things we've read in God's word that will help us along life's journey and to point out things that are wrong. I know there's been times, you know, like people will say, you know, mother's intuition, or, you know, I got a gut feeling. But if you're a child of God and you feel like something's not right, some situation, somebody's not right, it's the Holy Spirit of God telling you something's not right. Don't go there. Don't leave with that person. Don't leave your children with that person. You know what? I'm not sure. You know what? I really want that job, but just something doesn't seem right. I don't feel at peace about it. I'm going to walk away from it. Though it would be a good job, making more money than I make now, but you know what? Something's just not right. A lot of Christians butt up against God's Spirit and do what they feel like they shouldn't do because it's what they want to do. God's given us his pure word to help us and of his Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And what is the Holy Spirit going to hear? Only what the Father says. Only what the Father says. Romans 8:27 says, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, capital S, speaking of the Holy Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You realize Holy Spirit prays on your behalf and my behalf according to God's will. I don't know what he's saying, but I can kind of guess, at least for myself, many times, I'm sure the Holy Spirit, Father, you better help him. He's about to make a big mistake. Right? Or Lord, you know, he's kind of resisting me, Lord. Would you, help him to see that, you know, what he's about to do is not the right choice? Father, help him. Fill him with your power to resist what the devil's trying to do in his life. The Bible says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Jesus Christ prays on our behalf, the Bible tells us as well. Again, if we want to know what God's will is, then we've got to stay in the Word of God, and we've got to continue following the Holy Spirit in our life. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, as the Bible tells us, but allow yourself and myself to continue listening, continue following, continue allowing yourself to yield to whatever the Lord wants, and you'll know what God's will is. But if we can be honest with ourselves this morning, you don't have to shake your head. But has there been times, just think, has there been times in your life that you know you totally went against God's will because it's what you wanted to do? Yeah, absolutely. I know it has been in my life as well. All right. But again, when you think about discerning God's will, it starts with staying in your Bible, reading God's word because it's profitable for us. Stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit because he searcheth the hearts, because he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. 1 Timothy 5:19, quench not the Spirit. So again, we know the Holy Spirit leads us, and you and I have to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit in order to be able to discern what the Father's will is. Because you understand, the Holy Spirit knows what God's will is for your life. And he only speaks what he hears. What the Father wants in our life, the Holy Spirit will guide us in that direction. But not only God's word and the Holy Spirit, but think about prayer. God's given us the ability to pray. Praying helps us to discern what the Father's will is. Look at James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1. Because how many of you understand this morning God has not changed? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed what he wants in a person's life. He hasn't changed how he will work in a person's life. He hasn't changed what he will use. He always uses his word. He uses his spirit, and he's given us the privilege of prayer. In James chapter 1, you look at verses 5 through 8. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You're seeking God's will. Well, we need to read the Bible. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and to guide us according to God's will and pray. Pray for God's wisdom. And you already know that many times it'll be completely opposite of what we're thinking because God's ways are higher than our ways. So in our heart, we may be praying and seeking God. You know, we're saying what we know we're supposed to say, but we're really wanting God to make this happen. But whatever your will is, God, we kind of, you know, as some people do, wink the eye and kind of nod and, whatever your will is, Lord, but, you know, pick this one, right? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, meaning whatever God's will is. Whatever God's will is, if it's completely opposite of what I want, that's fine. Because I really want God's will to be done in my life. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Again, prayer helps us to discern the Father's will. And again, I think you understand prayer. There's probably been times where you've gone to praying and you just weren't quite sure how to pray about something. And you just started, you know, praying. And then eventually, you know, you found yourself praying like you weren't even thinking. It just, God was bringing things to your mind to pray about and how to pray for it. again, the Holy Spirit guiding us. And it comes from a heart, having a true heart's desire that whatever the Father's will is. Again, going back to Christ, he said, if there be any other way, if this cup can pass from me, what I'm about to face, but not my will, but thine be done. I mean, that's powerful, that even our Savior, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's asking for another way, if there's another way possible. Another way of not having to go to the cross, another way of not having to be scourged and beaten. I mean, he knows what's coming. But that's exactly why he came. But he submitted himself to the Father's will. And guess what? The Father's will was that he be scourged, that he be beaten, that he be hung on a cross and mocked because of his love for you and me. And you know what drove Christ to the cross? His love. You know what helped Jesus fulfill the Father's will? His love for the Father and the Father's love for him. Jesus prayed, but yet he submitted to the Father's will. When you think about just the principles in discerning the Father's will, I want you to think about these four principles. Number one, when you're wanting to know what God's will is in a situation, whatever it may be, maybe something going on in your life right now, you're trying to figure something out right now, there's a decision you need to make right now, here's four principles that we can always think about when making decisions. Number one, does the Bible forbid me? Does God's word forbid me whatever it is? Does God already say no in his word? Number two, will it bring glory to God? Will this bring glory to God? Number three, will it aid my spiritual growth? Will it aid my spiritual growth? And number four, will it have a negative impact on my witness for Christ? That's four principles in discerning if something is the will of God. Number one, does God already forbid it in his word? Number two, will it bring glory to God? Number three, will it help my spiritual growth? And number four, will it cause me to have a negative witness for Christ? Last thing I want you to think about is we must do God's will. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 2 again. 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 16 and 17. As God's people, we must do his will, but we have to know what it is. And when God has shown it, then guess what? There are some barriers to overcome. Because you already know, as soon as God reveals what his will is for you, and you're all gung-ho, thank you, Lord. I'm going to accomplish your will. Someone is going to try to resist you in accomplishing the will of God. And before I even read this, just think. I hate picking on Peter, not this Peter, Peter of the Bible. Because think, the disciple of Christ, Jesus said, someone's going to deny me. Someone's going to betray me. All right, all the disciples, is it I, is it I? Now, Judas Iscariot, he's the one that ended up betraying Christ. But then Jesus turns to Peter and says, you know what? You're going to deny me three times. Three times before the cock crows. You're going to deny me three times. And Peter, I'm not denying you. Though everybody else denies you, I'm not. That was his desire because, you know, he knew who Christ was, right? He's the one that said, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Christ. But something got into Peter's way when he was faced three times. Hey, you're one of them. You're a Galilean. You're one of them. And three times, no, I'm not. No, I don't know who you're talking about. And he starts cursing. He had a desire not to deny the Lord, because he said, though all men deny you, I won't. But something got in the way, and it was his flesh. The flesh, our flesh, can be a barrier that we have to overcome. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 16, 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The flesh gets in the way. And what does the Bible mean by the flesh? You're all wrecked. Peter, I'm not going to deny you. But right? Someone comes and says, hey, you're one of his. Well, what's going on when he's questioned? Jesus has been taken as a prisoner. He's having a mock trial. They're condemning him to death. And what's running through Peter's mind? Well, if I say I am, then they're going to kill me. I don't want to die. Though I'll die with you, Peter said, yet when you're faced with it, man, you just start getting bombarded with all these emotions, and the flesh can get the best of us at times. And we have to overcome the flesh. We have to overcome the desire to protect ourselves and to keep ourselves comfortable. I was often told that I needed to come out of my shell. You got to get out of your comfort zone. Because you know what? I've told you this, but when I was in high school, I wouldn't give oral reports. I'd sit in my desk in high school and I'd get that big zero, right? Flunk the class. I'm not sick, because you know what? I hate it. If I even thought about having to stand up, man, I'd get butterflies in my stomach. I'd start sweating. Man, they're going to laugh at me. I'm not going to be able to pronounce words and all this stuff, right? Overcoming the flesh, not by willpower, but by his power. Because what I'm doing was not my idea. It was his idea. There's things in your life that maybe it's not your idea to do, but it's God's idea. God's laying upon your heart to do something. You think about missionaries. It's no one's idea. Oh, you know what? I think I'll go to China. I think I'll go to Africa. You know, I think I'll just, blaze a trail through Africa, and just whatever tribes I come up to, I'll try to preach the gospel to them. The desire is put in their heart by God. And missionaries have surrendered to that, have surrendered to God's desire for their life. But again, our desire right now, where we're at in life, where you're at, what job you're working, where you're living, all of that right now, we still have to seek God's will. We still want God to be glorified in the things that we do. We still want to grow in our own spiritual growth through the decisions that we make. And we definitely don't want to have a negative witness impact on anybody. What would be a negative witness impact on somebody? Well, I have mentioned it, I think it was in Sunday school. What would you guys think if I got to get a job, church isn't really able to pay me anymore, FedEx, I'm not making a whole lot there, but man, I heard that, the gas station, I mean, they're hiring at, $21 an hour. Yeah, I need the money. But what would I be obliged to sell at a gas station? Cigarettes, tobacco products, alcohol. And what would people think? What would church people think coming in there and seeing a pastor behind the counter ringing somebody up with their alcohol, right? I know for me, I'm not going to his church anymore, right? I'm just saying that whatever it is that we do, we really have to seek God's will in our life. We really have to have a desire for the goodness of God to be shown in our life. And again, that's what David said. David said, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. And because God's spirit is good, he'll always lead us in the right way. He'll always lead us in the good path. Lead me into the land of uprightness. David says, you know what? I want to have a right, good testimony. I want people to see that I'm following the Lord, that God's leading me. I want people to know that even though it may not make sense to a lot of people, yet I am following the Lord, you and I will always get somebody's two cents. We'll get somebody's, you know, opinion on what we should and shouldn't do. And that's okay. But the ultimate decision for you and me and all of God's people should come down to, what does God say? And if I don't know, if I, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, then don't make a decision until you absolutely know what God's will is. Yeah, but Pastor, I mean, they want me to give a decision by the end of the day. Well, then pray that God gives you an answer by the end of the day. If he doesn't, then say, I'm sorry, I can't take the job. And believe me, I already know that when the time is ticking and you're getting close to having to give that decision, okay, Lord, you got to tell me, I'm not sure. You know, he probably wants me to take the job. Okay, I'll take the job. Because we want to know that something is okay. We want to make sure everything is taken care of. Nobody likes decisions to be out of their control. But you know what? For the Christian, it might be out of our control, but it's under his control. So you just think about what David says. Go ahead and stand. We'll end with this. But just think about what David says. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Teach me. You know what? It's a lesson that is not taught once. It's a lesson that has to be taught and learned every day. Lord, teach me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. You know what? We have that attitude and that heart's desire. You know what? He's my God. I want him to be glorified in everything. You know what? We will allow ourselves to do that. I'll tell you right up front, if you haven't been doing that and you're determined, okay, I'm going to start doing that, it's going to be hard. I'll just tell you right now, it's going to be hard. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. Because again, when you choose to follow the Lord, the devil's right there to resist you. He's right there to throw something up. What about this? What about that? You got to do this. You know what it is in your life that you kind of struggle with. I promise, the more you yield to the Lord, the more you follow him. I don't know how this is going to work out, but okay, I'm just using for example. I'm sorry, I can't take the job. And they may want to know, well, why? I don't have an answer. And then what? Then you just trust the Lord. If I can just go ahead and come, Emily. If I can just give you this, years ago, in between jobs, seeking a job. I mean, I medical supply company I worked for 14 years. They were consolidating everything into one location, and they were taking one purchaser from each of their branches and moving them to one location. And that was Jacksonville, Florida. I went down there just to see, and it's like, all right, no, I don't want to. That's not where I want to be. I don't want to be in Jacksonville, Florida. So my job ended, and they were nice. They gave me a severance package. You know, it wasn't a lot. I'd been there 14 years, so they gave me it. It lasted, because this was June. Matthew was just born. He was only a couple months old. The money lasted until September. And through that entire summer, my wife can testify, application after application after application, no phone calls. And somebody could have said, well, you know what, you're not getting any jobs that you're filling, you know what, just think you're looking for too high of a job. I even filled out for a bagger at a grocery store, and they were in need of help. I couldn't even get that job. We're down to $5. Am I right? Down to $5 in our account. I saw a newspaper clipping in the paper for a battery distribution company. They were looking for a manager. I don't think they were looking for a manager. I think that one was, I forget, but I said, I don't want to work for them. Battery distribution company. So I called up a temp place. You know, Kelly's Temporary Services, you know, for them to place you. And they got me a job interview, and I went there, and I had to call my wife on the phone as I'm pulling in the parking lot. Babe, it's the place in the paper I didn't want to go to an interview for. So I go in there, and I sit down with one of the owners, and, you know, we talk and stuff, and then, you know, he just looks at me as some owners kind of look at you to kind of belittle you, make you look real small, you know. He goes, well, I have to be honest, you're overqualified. We're looking for somebody else. I'm like, okay, well, I was wasting my hour. I mean, I even got in the car and I even told Lord, that's why I didn't even choose to call them. So I call my wife on the phone. I'm like, hey, waste of time. But as I'm talking to her, someone's trying to call me. I look at it, I'm like, I don't know what that number is. Answer it. Well, it's the owner of the company saying, we'd like to offer you the job. And I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm going, you just belittled me. But I said, I'll take it. Because before, I said, Lord, if this is what you want, I don't understand. And then when I walked out, I didn't understand. It's like, Lord, why did you even give me this job interview? I'm saying that sometimes things don't make sense, but if you just leave it up to the Lord and truly trust him, let me tell you, if it was just me, a single man, down to $5, no big deal. But I was a married man with 4 kids. 5. Who am I missing? Oh, Matthew, yeah. That's right. So I got to count. So 5 at the time. So that was a test. I'm just saying, it was a test. But you realize, you know, I was willing to do whatever God wanted. I really didn't want to do that job, but because he showed that, no, that's where I want you to be. I'm just saying, still seek God's will for your life. Don't make rash decisions. Really, if God doesn't give you peace about something, walk away from it. Walk away from it. If you have to tell somebody no, tell them no. And you know what? If they say, well, why? Because God hasn't given me peace about it. I guarantee you, your life will be blessed. You truly will find it easier the more you do that. And I can tell you right now, I'm sorry I'm taking up time, but listen, I just want you to understand, I can tell you right now, you still are faced with those feelings of, man, if I don't do something, Lord. But it's trust. Who do we trust? Again, that's why David said, teach me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Who is your God? Is he faithful? Does he always do right? Does he love you? Then guess what? We can truly follow his will.